Blog Talk Radio.
It's a song we learned in Zimbabwe. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you.
God bless you. This is Pastor Kim from Vision of Hope Ministries, and I just want to talk to you briefly tonight. We thank God for anyone who's joining and anyone who listens by archive. This is our weekly Bible study coming to you from Vision of Hope Ministries at 5105 Reagan Drive in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we're here every Wednesday at 6:30. We thank God once again for you, and I'd just like to encourage you to get into the Word, read the Bible weekly, join a Bible study. If you don't have a church, find a church. Do something to get to stay connected to God, because this is a time and a season where people need to stay connected to the Most High God. We're going to go into Psalms 139, and I just wanted, this psalm is wonderful. It speaks for itself. David was in a, for lack of a better word, a depressed state. He was having some concerns, and he just poured out his heart about the Lord. And it has good parts in it of how he feels, and it has not so good parts in it about how he feels. But whatever was going on with David, he was true to himself and true to God with what was going on with him. So I just thank God for this and for this psalm. And like I said, it speaks for itself. So I'm just going to share it with you, Psalms 139. And it's one that you should meditate on. You should learn in your time of distress. You can read it. And it will truly, truly bless you, because at the end of the day, this psalm is saying that God is in control. No matter what we go through, no matter what we're doing, no matter what's going on in our life, ultimately God is in control. So that's what I'm reading, Psalms 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. So David is, he's acknowledging the fact that God is acquainted with all his ways. He knows all about him. I'm reading from the King James Version, so I'm going to switch over real quick to NIV because I want to do a comparison. I want to make sure that you have a clear understanding of what's going on here. So I started, let's see, Psalms 139. I'm going to the NIV. Come on, NIV, where's the NIV? NIV, there's so many interpretations of the Bible out. Oh, let's see. One more. I'm on a touch screen Bible, a computer, and it is really sensitive. Okay, so let's see. So I've got the two versions going. I'm going to start again in the NIV. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Woo, this is a true and living God about us. You know, I did my daily Bible study, and it was talking about, you know, having the Lord search us. And this scripture talks about, you know, just it's a reflection, because God already knows us, but sometimes we act like he doesn't. So I'm going to keep going. Verse 4, before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. That means God has got you. He's covering me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. I mean, the fact of how much God knows about us, it's incredible. Verse 7, where can I go, hallelujah, from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast. And I'm going to look at that in the King James, verse 7. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. Yeah, see, I got that old school in me. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. David is saying, wherever I go, you're there. You're going to know where I am. You know all about me. Verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. David is so confident in the true and living God, he's saying he can't escape. If he wanted to, he couldn't escape. You know, sometimes some people, and of course not anybody listening, but some people feel like, you know, they can pick God up and put him down, and, you know, I'm going to put my religion down. Well, God is not religion. God is who he is. He is the almighty, sovereign God. So wherever you go and whatever you do, God is there. He is an ever-present God. That's why I don't understand sometimes why people, you know, they'll hide from the preacher. And I'm saying to myself, you don't have to hide from me. It's one thing to have respect and reverence for the preacher, but God is the ultimate one that sees all and knows all. So you don't have to hide from God. And if you're not hiding, if you're hiding from me, it makes no difference because God still sees. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Okay, I love that because that's saying, look, you're going to guide me, and if I slip, you got me. You're holding on to me. Verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Are you listening to me? Verse 12 says, even the darkness will not be dark to you. So those who might want to hide, you know, you feel like you just can't take it no more. You say, surely the darkness will hide me. If I go somewhere, go in a cave, go in my room, cut the lights out, if I go somewhere and hide, God is still there. The magnificent, true, and living God is still there. Verse 13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. All right, anybody who's got any problems with the abortion issue, it says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. So from the time of conception, you were created. I praise you, and that's what I said. I'm interpreting that. If the scripture said you knit me together in my mother's womb, then that means from the time you was in there, you were created. Verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. So David takes a full 360 degrees. He says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. He gives God a compliment about how well God made him. He makes that personal. He says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. My God, are you listening? Unformed body. The body wasn't even formed. We talk about that embryo, that portion, that flesh that's so small that it's unrecognizable. It's still a creation of the true and living God. Help me today, Holy Ghost. I'm talking to somebody who's listening. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Before one of those days came into being, God ordained for you to be here. Are you listening to me? Before you set foot on this earth, before you were conceived, God ordained for you to be here. Help us today, Holy Ghost. I know you have a lot of unanswered questions, but it's okay. 17, how precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. I'm going to look at the King James for that. Verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. God is thinking about you constantly. Oh, God, how great is the sum of them. The sum of how much God thinks about us is great. The totality of it is great. Oh, I hope you're listening. If I could count them, verse 18, they are more in number than the sand. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody ought to take a moment and thank the Lord because he's letting you know how precious you are to him, how much he thinks about you. They are more in number. David says they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee, Holy Ghost. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. You don't have time to deal with the wicked because God is going to slay them. He's saying, surely you're going to slay them. I don't care how much good, how much progress, how many blessings you see going on. Surely, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Verse 20, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? You know, and this just made me think about something when I was reading this, you know, about hating them that hate thee. You know, people sometimes with the things that they do and the way that they act, it shows a hatred of God. If we love God, then we're going to have to act the way he wants us to act and do the things that he wants us to do. Again, you hear me say all the time, those of my congregation, are we perfect? No. But we're striving for perfection. But some people are just evil. Some people are just mean. Some people are just wicked. And those who are standing up for wrong, trying to make it right, you know, that's what's going on in the world today. People are standing up for wrong and trying to make it right. And the Christians, the timid little Christians who don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, you know, this whole thing is getting turned around. You know, this whole thing is getting turned around where we're becoming intimidated to say anything, to do anything, to offend anybody. We're becoming victimized by standing up for Christ and what is right. And so I'm not mad at Billy Graham and what he's doing. I don't have an account with Wells Fargo, but I'm surely not upset with him because at least he's taking a stand for what he believes in. Because so many of us won't do it. As Christians, we won't take a stand for what we believe in. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, turn me around. If there's any wicked way in me, turn me around. I don't want to be somebody's friend enough to turn away from God. I don't want to be in the popular poll enough to be in the popular opinion enough to turn away from God. I just don't want it because I know what the future holds. I know when it's all said and done, the Lord is coming back. And we don't believe that. We don't think it. But God is coming back. Jesus is coming back. He sent his son, and his son is coming back. And so while we are, for lack of a better term, shucking and jiving, hiding in the corners, not taking a stand, we're going to have to really, really, really stay on fire for the Lord and really search ourselves and say, Lord, if I'm not right, if I'm not doing right, if I'm not acting right, Lord, search me, help me, because I know you're there. If you just read this song, You know he's there. You know how much he loves us. You know how much he cares for us. God is there for us. He is there for you. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, he's there for you. And I don't care what you're going through, you need to know that he's there for you. I love Psalms 139. It is precious. It shows how David, he just, you know, it's another scripture where the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And this scripture just brings light to that, how David just, you know, he started out, God, you know, I can't even escape from you. Wherever I am, you're going to be there. And then he turned that thing around and said, look, I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. You know, I can't even count how much you think about me. I can't even count it. It's more than the sands of the earth. So he talked himself into reminding himself about who he was in the sight of God. You are so precious to the Lord. You mean so much to him. You don't have to keep trying. You don't have to do anything. He loves you. His love is truly unconditional. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ. We're always trying to do things to please people. I'm a people pleaser. I know people who are people pleasers. But guess what? You don't have to do anything to please God except to love him back. And he said, if you love me, you'll obey me. You'll obey me if you love me. You know, so it's not. Does he love me today? Did I do right today? No, he loves you. He knows all about you. If you read the story of David, you already know that. You ain't nowhere near where David was, I'm sure. I haven't met anybody on earth yet who is anywhere near where David was when it comes to sin. So you just got to love yourself and let God love you and bless you. And I hope you read Psalms 139. Take it with you wherever you go. That's it for me for tonight. God bless you and God love you. And listen to our weekly Bible study, Vision of Hope, down in Charlotte, North Carolina, every Wednesday at 6:30. Tell somebody, and if you have a topic that you want to talk about, shoot me an email at ladyparsons5@gmail.com. If it's something that you want to talk about, some questions that you need answered, biblical principles, anything, let's get a discussion going and see what the Word of God says about it. God love you. God bless.